Hey everybody, today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com. All right, enjoy the show.
Come on.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo, fino, anane. Giacomo, finane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
What's happening, Bo?
Let me think.
Is this another episode of Las Culturistas?
It's come to me.
It is another episode of Las Culturistas.
Wow. Well, then, if that's true, I'm gagged.
I'm so excited, you guys.
I'm so excited.
First of all, this is the first episode where, that we're back after our live show, and that was
so fun.
That was so fun, and thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah, a million people showed up.
1 million.
I think Trump's...
Yeah,
I think Sean Spicer put out a statement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He
put out a statement and said that it didn't happen.
And then his Cupid's bow just tore in half.
Yeah,
and his face just split. My God, yeah, that was so fun, wasn't it?
It was so great.
Yeah,
and it definitely did happen. And you guys can, if you haven't, check out the episodes of the live show. And we have today. I mean, I referred to him as our personal hero.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah,
I was thinking today, and he's gonna hate this. I think this is so lame, and I never say shit like this, but I'm like, oh
what?
God, like pinch me, like he's like he's a friend. He's
yeah,
like
I know.
The best. You
well,
know?
It's like when you see someone fucking truly brilliant performance, like you know,
yeah.
You get a little whoo, baby.
Okay, let's talk
little
about the credits.
Wet, little
a little wet.
Wet.
You get a little wet for him.
Let's talk about the credits. You know him from Hulu's Difficult People. You know him.
You know
from
him.
Man Seeking Woman on FX.
And you know him from Mozart in the Jungle. And you know him from his upcoming Joe's Pub show, June 14th.
You
check
will
it out.
Know.
It's called Help, I'm Stuck. It sounds wonderful. Run, don't walk. Guys, please welcome
Cola Scola.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. And you know what? You open the door wide open immediately.
Come on.
Ding dong, he's here.
Ding dong. Run up, run down. Clutch the banisters.
Clutch the banisters. Also, fucking iconic. I don't think so, honey.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Night. Yeah.
Thank
that
you.
That was great.
I decided if I was going to... You either go frivolous,
yes,
or you go real. And if you're gonna go real,
yeah,
better go real.
Yes. I think, yeah. And I'm gonna butcher this, but this is just one of the best setups and punchlines executions. You gave me shit for playing with. You said I was too old to play with Barbie dolls. I'm sorry. This is for people who didn't listen. Cole, I don't think so, honey. His mom wanting a relationship with him now. And he brought up the fact that she said that he was too old to play with Barbies. And then Cole says, "Well, check your back for a Mattel label, bitch, because I've outgrown you."
So good.
Thank you.
I mean, come on.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway.
Cole, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Just
you
okay?
Know. That's your stock answer. I've asked you this a lot, and it's always
I'm
a
okay.
Breath.
I'm okay.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It is.
What's going on?
Well, you know, the rain.
The rain. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's a little rainy right
it's
now.
It's rainy in New York. And I was talking to a friend of ours, Aaron Jackson.
Yes, of course.
About how it's so appropriate to cancel in snow, but you kind of need to cancel more so for rain because you can dust snowflakes off.
Sure.
But
I find it much easier to walk around in the snow than it is when the rain is falling down.
Yeah. Now, are you saying you were very close to canceling on us? Because
no.
Well, okay.
No. The reason I had brought it up is because Aaron had to come over to my house earlier.
Oh, sure.
And so I felt bad.
We're gonna meet Aaron later on tonight. We're gonna go see Power Rangers. And we extended an invitation to you, but it's fine. You have a conflict. It's okay.
I have a conflict of interest.
You have a conflict of interest.
Recuse yourself from this.
Yeah.
So also, I didn't realize. So Cole came in here and he removed his coat. And let me tell you something. The garment that
you'll
he
put
has
it on
on
the blog.
No,
put it on the blog.
We're gonna take a picture of it in a little bit. And
great.
It's gonna be fucking. It's gonna stun everyone. This is great. And also, I didn't even realize it was the date look.
Oh, yeah.
Is it the date?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I put this on before I even knew I was going on the date.
Functional. Ooh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love
but
it.
But I think it's great.
This
it's
is so, just like
it's,
my
it's
house.
Like a, it's a red corduroy.
With no, a, it's like red. What is this?
It's like, I want to.
It's not denim. It's like faux. It's, I don't know. It's like something a lady would wear on an L.L. Bean catalog.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I have an hour to get somewhere. Yeah,
I want to say.
Yeah,
I have an hour to get somewhere. Yeah. It's not the right word, but I want to say it's like twill, something like that.
Okay.
I'm open to ways to describe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're just going to pitch Colson materials. Yeah. And then there's a beautiful corduroy black collar.
I
love it. It's very and also, what a nice, vibrant color.
Yes.
This is something I'm very into lately, is just a strong, bold color. Like, I'm wearing this color.
Yeah. Speaking of bold colors, Cole, I...
Green.
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 I'm wearing a green flannel.
Yeah. Yes. That's like a great green.
I'm wearing green. I have green.
Cole has been documenting his new apartment and the new decor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so resplendently you.
Thank you.
I love it.
What is it? Describe it. Describe the personal elements. Taste.
Someone called it a dollhouse.
Okay.
And others have voiced similar.
And you've agreed.
And I've agreed.
Yes.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Aaron Jackson, did tell me personally that he went over and you bought like a ceramic cake.
It was foam. It's foam.
Foam. I'm so sorry.
It's a fake. It's a prop cake.
Prop
like
cake.
Again, I just get these visions and then I go, thank God for the internet.
I know.
Thank
because
God.
You can order it all. I recently did a show and I was like, God, where am I going to get all these props? Let me tell you, they are all on
they're
Amazon.
All online.
Yeah.
They're all online. And then I recently discovered myself at Party City like more than once in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl recognized me and said, do you want to open up an account here at Party City? And I was like, no. I don't.
And you haven't been back.
No, I would go back. They have such good stuff. Boas of every color. Yeah. I realize I now have a boa in like every color except yellow, which I should get.
Sure.
With your complexion? I'm surprised that wasn't the first one that you bought.
I know. But it goes to go so good with my
your olive
Tampa
skin.
It brings
Tampa
out your
skin.
Olive tones. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was just in Tampa and let me tell you, I'm beautiful. Beautiful. And the
well,
guys
the culture.
There are kinda hot, but I'm also trash.
Yeah. Where are you from, Long Island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Reeds. That's part of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like any time I see like a guy with that like band of tattoo around his bicep,
yeah.
It's like a huge positive trigger for me.
Great.
I'm like, I love it.
Great.
I love it. Like Jersey Shore was not like wholly disgusting to me. It was a little bit hot.
Got it.
Like Pauly D, I was still thinking about like 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
Pauly D, I haven't thought about him in a while.
He dated Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane. Meeting of the Minds.
Right. Wow. What a power couple. Now, Cole, things are going good in the apartment. This is a new move. What inspired the move?
I had roommates.
Yes.
And one of them was from New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
He was a gay Christian gamer.
Okay.
Who didn't like cussing.
No.
And then there was one weekend he was sick. And he didn't know what to do, and he kept asking for my advice.
Oh, no.
And, you know.
This sounds like too much.
Right. You don't, like, I'm one of those people, if I hear my roommate in the kitchen, I'm going to stay in my room until they're gone.
Yes.
Or, like, if I hear something sizzling on the stove, I go, okay, that means his back will be turned to me.
Yep.
If he's facing the stove, so I can sneak into the shower. Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Wow. But it just got to be too much.
I'm so sorry. Well, it's but okay. Look,
you can't live
yourself.
Your life in fear.
You cannot live your life in fear.
No.
This is something. Yeah.
Now, what were his games of choice?
I have no idea. They were like multiplayer game. You guys like games though, right?
Bowen
like,
is a big gamer. And then today, Eric Erson and I were playing video games.
Did he show you Zelda?
Well, we were playing Super Smash Brothers Melee, but we were talking about how, and I was really enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to myself, because when I was little, I was a big video games kid. Like I had an N64 and I loved playing, but I liked the cartoonish like Mario stuff. Like I liked Donkey Kong. I didn't like it when it got to all this like super realistic, violent kind of like craziness. Like I'm just not into it. Mm. And I never got into Halo. I didn't like the scary sci-fi aspect of it. It just kind of frightened me.
I had a Sega.
Yeah, Sega. So did you play Sonic?
No, but I played, there was a game where you could be the little dot from the 7-Up logo.
Oh my god.
And
but that sounds like,
but I didn't, right. I wasn't really good at it, so I never got past the first level, so I kind of just jump around the beach as that little red dot.
That's okay.
You interpreted how to play the video game your own way.
I was just like, oh, I get to live in this for a little while.
Exactly.
Until someone steps on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we were talking today about like how advanced they are in terms of storytelling now and how like they're visually beautiful, and I was like, maybe I'll try it again. Maybe I'll like try to save up for a PS4, which I really don't fucking need.
Our producer
Joe
is shaking
his head no. Then and now I'm not gonna do it.
Okay.
You know what, Joe? You're right. I'm not gonna do it, Joe.
I don't know what kind of games, but I'm jealous of gay game culture. Yeah.
Sure. You guys aren't missing much.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you're playing the games like that you're wasting time?
A little bit. But last night I flew back in, and just to unwind, I put on Zelda. And in fact, Aaron, this is very an Aaron heavy episode.
It's just too much.
Aaron came over last weekend just to watch me play. Because he is an erstwhile gamer, I should say.
Yeah. Right.
And he came over because he wanted to re-experience this nostalgia for watching other people play video games, which is like sort of a weird, voyeuristic thing.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah, I think we should check on him.
We should also not talk about him so much.
You're right. Obviously, there's something going on. And,
Just was, did not make the first mention.
Like eventually we're going to listen to this and be like, we should have known then.
What it would become.
Yeah, he just wanted to come over and kind of just watch me do stuff. It was just play video games, but then he stayed after and just kind of...
Yeah.
See, that's interesting, because I thought that was...
He wanted to watch me cut a piece of bread in half. It was really strange.
He, like, brought the bread and, like, this very, like, flimsy plastic knife. And he's like, no, use that knife.
Can you
use that
cut this? And I don't know what... And then, of course, what happened. If you see Aaron Jackson, give him a hug and maybe ask him how he's doing.
And if you don't see me, I'm probably...
Dead. Aaron probably killed him.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen. So video games, not really a part of your cultural past, but cool, we're about to find out much more. So we ask everyone on our show, what was the culture that you saw, experienced as a young gun, and made you say, wow, culture is for me, Cola Scola. Like, I want to become a part of this. I'm interested in pursuing culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm interested in pursuing culture.
I want to slather my frame in culture.
Yeah.
What made you want to say that? What made you say that?
Well, when I saw The Wizard of Oz.
Okay. This is a big one for a lot of people.
For a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And if you have to tune out now, I forgive you. I'm as tired of talking about it as you are
listening about it.
But I was obsessed with Billy Burke, Glinda. Mm-hmm. And from there I started I rented like Dinner at 8 and like got,
So interesting
Judy.
To me that Billy Burke is your takeaway from that and not Judy, and also secondarily not Margaret Hamilton.
No.
A Billy Burke queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I love that character voice.
Yeah.
She's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. She's Snatch.
She
comes down in
Snatch.
The bubble. She looks fucking good.
Yeah, she drops in. She's like, no, bitch. Like, what did I tell you?
You had it all
along.
And
then she's like, you didn't tell me. And she's like, oh, sorry.
Oh, what an inconvenience. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But she was gorgeous. And then I found out, like, oh, she was 50 at the time. And she,
didn't
have any
that.
Hair at that point. Yeah. So I was just obsessed with her. And then through that, I got into old movies your Betty Davis, your Joan Crawford.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So are you living for Feud?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And okay. I'm going to they're screening the finale here in New York.
Oh my God.
With Ryan Murphy.
No.
Jessica Lange.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Susan Sarandon.
Oh my God.
And I'm going.
Okay. I'm so gagged for the show. And also my new thing, because I've been watching Feud and Big Little Lies. And I am what gets me going is just like actresses acting.
Yes.
Like it's my favorite thing in the
of
world.
Of course.
It's why I wake up in the morning.
Yes, right. Yes, yes.
So I'm in true heaven right now. So I tweeted at the actress that plays Pauline. The assistant?
Yeah.
So who's amazing.
Yes. And did you know that character is the only one not based on a real person?
Yeah, she's like an amalgamation of women around the time, which I didn't know until I read an interview with her.
Great.
And I tweeted at her, like, they need to give this woman an Emmy, because my new thing is being like, that performance deserves an Emmy.
Yeah, yeah,
everything I see.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't get enough. Like, now my new thing is Robin Weigert on Big Little Lies, who plays the therapist on Big Little Lies.
I don't think you've
gotten there yet.
You're not there yet, Cole.
You meet her in episode 3. Mm-hmm. She's so amazing. She deserves an Emmy.
She deserves an Emmy. Mm-hmm.
But I tweeted out, like a true gay man, I was like, can we start the Emmy campaign for Allison Wright? She's the unsung hero of this show.
Yeah.
And she like retweeted it and was like, you heard them, FX.
You heard them.
You heard the man. You heard
those people.
Yes. The people are talking. It's like one ranting gay.
Yeah.
Have I encountered Pauline yet? I'm only on episode 2.
Yes, probably.
Yes, yeah. Because Pauline is the character that tells Alfred Molina in the show, you must make whatever happen to Baby Jane. She gives him the book.
Right.
And so that's her. But I mean,
I'm all about Hedda Hopper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Come on, Judy Davis.
Judy Davis. I mean, where is she? I mean, she's been in everything, but it's also like, what was the last thing? What was the last big thing she was in? I'm trying to think.
Well, anyway.
She played Nancy Reagan. That was probably the last like awardsy thing that she was in. But she also hates. I've read interviews where she talks about hating America, and like
Judy
American,
Davis.
Yeah, because she's Australian.
Honestly, agree.
I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's like an Australian stage actress, and she hates like performing for like
American audiences.
American crowds.
I kind of get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Somebody was saying the other day, I was watching Girls, and it was the end of the episode, and Lena Dunham was talking about, there was a big episode that was for Elijah. It was like Andrew Reynolds' like driven episode, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where he has to sing for an audition, and it's the first time we've heard Elijah on the show sing, but we all know that Andrew Reynolds is a fabulous singer and musical theater performer. So he like slays this short cut of Let Me Be Your Star from Smash.
Wow. I haven't seen this.
And he fucking crushes it. And then it cuts to Marissa Jarrett Winoker, who's playing the casting director, saying
she booked it.
Yeah, you can stay for the monologue, and popping open a bag of chips and then just like going in these chips, and he's like, okay, great. And then after the episode, Lena Dunham was saying that I guess they collaborated with him a little bit about the episode, and he would talk about how he would be doing Book of Mormon, like giving his life, and then there would just be people loudly chomping on chips like in the first and second row. And that's not how you treat like a theatrical experience like the world over. No.
There was, I saw Hello Dolly. this is important to this show.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, it's crucial.
I turned 30 last November.
Happy belated.
Thank you. Nothing broke. but for my birthday, I bought a ticket to, I saw the matinee of War Paint.
Oh, great.
And then that night I saw Hello Dolly, and then the day after I saw Glass Menagerie with
Okay. Oh, wow. Can you spill a little bit about all of them?
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. Talk. Play for all.
So War Paint was very confusing.
Okay.
Because it doesn't know what its message is. It was like obviously written before Trump.
Yeah.
But it's still about like, it's like a love story between these two women, like how they were like rivals, but their rivalry actually like inspired them to be better at what they do.
Okay.
And this is Patty and Christine Ebersole.
Patty LuPone and Christine Ebersole.
Yeah, okay.
And so, and there's one point in the show where Christine Ebersole's character has Elizabeth Arden has a line about how you have to stand up to bullies no matter what. And this is like taking place right before World War II. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it got like a huge applause from the audience because we're like, yeah, Trump. Yeah.
We get it.
And then it goes into this musical number about supplying lipstick for our women to like look good for the men overseas. So it was this huge like blue ball moment of like, yes, this is so cathartic. And like, yes, stronger together, female power. Moment. And then like, all out come these Rosie the Riveter chorus girls in like sequiny jumpsuits,
girls.
Like yeah, doing like kicks and like we'll look good in pink, like oh, just almost,
almost were there,
stumble at the finish line,
yeah, and it had a lot of those sort of moments where it was like, because Patty's character is an immigrant who started Helena Rubinstein, who started this business. And so there's a lot of like almost moments that way too.
Yeah.
And then it's just like,
is Patty amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. They both give great performances. Yeah.
See, I think my thing, I saw Patty and Gypsy, as I'm sure you did as well.
Yes.
And did you see Patty and Gypsy?
I didn't. I instead chose to see Xanadu.
Please leave.
But I saw Xanadu as well, and yeah. I was fucking fully gagged.
I know, but I was, yeah, right.
I fucking loved
Xanadu. I saw
Xanadu.
It twice. I saw it with Whoopi Goldberg.
You did?
Yeah.
Was she on book? Because I heard there was a lot of performances where she was
for
on book.
For a second, I thought we were still talking about Gypsy and Whoopi Goldberg and Gypsy.
No.
Oh. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine it.
I can, and I'd rather leave right now than
discuss it
through.
A moment further.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but Whoopi was could not have wanted to be there less.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
She,
no.
I'm sure she was looking at a clock off stage. Was she, like, was she I'm usually off by 7:57. Yeah.
Was she filling in for Jackie Hoffman?
She was filling in, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it makes, casting-wise, it sort of makes sense a little bit, but yeah, like,
well,
no
they put
way.
It with a real pro, which is like Mary Testa, who probably was dragging her around the stage, like, no, bitch, we're over here now.
It was like watching someone walk their very old dog. You know, where they're like apologizing, like, sorry. And you're like, it's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what it was like.
Oh my God. That's so amazing. Funny. Okay, so now talk about, because I want to ramp up to Hello Dolly. Okay. Talk to us about their glass menagerie.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Tennessee Williams is so stylized and it's so like, it's like poetry, right? Mm-hmm. And so this production is very like, like modern and. Sure.
Yeah,
so
it looked
it just
like it was going to be like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a bare set. And I mean, there were a lot of interesting things, but it's still like, I don't know, you take that dialogue and then you try to make it conversational and it just loses the music. Maybe I'm just gay.
I don't
maybe
like minimalism.
Gay. Yeah.
I want it blown out. Because I fucking, I don't think so, honey, minimalism.
Right. I don't think so, honey. I paid to see a Broadway show.
I don't think so, honey.
You specifically pay to see Tennessee Williams, and you sterilize it, and then it's just, it loses.
Right.
Let's just say we went to go see Sunset Boulevard, and I'll talk about that later.
Uh-oh.
I went to go see that with you.
Yes. Uh-oh. We went to go see it, and it was on my birthday.
Yeah.
We went to go see it, and let's just say I'm saving it for a segment later in the show.
Ooh.
But no shade to Glenn Close, who's a fucking legend.
Are you sure?
I'm positive she's a legend.
Okay.
What's your shade with, what's your tea with Glenn Close?
I don't have tea with Glenn Close.
Oh. He clutched his drink. He was like,
Look, some of us like Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
And some of us.
Some of us have room to love both.
Have bad taste.
Ooh. Oh, my God. See, I am gagged for Patty.
Okay.
Are you one of those gays who watches on a loop the Kennedy Center honors to Barbara Cook?
Oh, no.
If you haven't seen it.
No, I have seen it.
You have seen it. But
because Glenn Close singing Losing My Mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the cut to Anne Hathaway in tears at the end.
Yes.
It's,
yeah.
We're all Anne Hathaway in that
We're
moment.
All Anne Hathaway.
That moment had to be like edited from somewhere else. Like that,
she paid to have it in there,
right?
Sure, yeah,
right.
Her publicist just pushed
right.
That.
But
it's so funny to watch Meryl watching Glenn Close sing and wondering what is Meryl thinking? Like, oh Glenn,
yeah,
oh Glenn.
But Meryl was, I mean, Meryl,
I think she was gagged the whole time.
Yeah,
but she was rocking back in her goddamn chair. But
well,
she
Meryl
was fully gagged.
She was being honored
for Patty LuPone.
Yeah. But that night, Meryl was probably just like laughing at Glenn because she was like, "Well, I'm being honored, and I have this fucking." Pin on my lip.
Right. But, also, it's so much more boring to watch like actors be like.
Oh sure.
Because singers and songwriters, you can watch them do their music.
Right.
But then
right.
For an actor, it's just like
a reel.
When I met Meryl, we were on a set of a movie and we got close. We haven't talked much since then, but I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Although
it's
wait,
100% true.
Yeah.
Not totally unrelated. Tracy Ullman did do a tribute for Meryl at some
hilarious.
Oh, that was the AFI.
Yeah. It was
where
AFI.
She talked about doing that movie in Africa.
And then
yeah,
they were
plenty.
Like, and they were on a plane together and almost crashed.
Yeah.
And Meryl was like. Yes. Oh, this is great for my biographer. Like, Tracy Ullman just pulled out a great... That was a terrible Meryl impression.
Screen legend Streep dies in fiery air disaster.
Yeah,
also on board, limey comedian Stacey Pullman is the exact joke. I've seen it a million times.
Oh, my God. I mean, Tracy Ullman, the children have forgotten. We're going to do an episode
soon. No, the children have forgotten about Tracy.
Have.
And the thing is...
The American children.
The American children. They need not forget because she's very present... I mean, I just wish that more kids had gone to see Into the Woods because it was so fucking good. I thought they
would
did such
be
a good
one
job
wish?
With it. My wish would be for people, for the kids to remember Tracy Ullman.
Yeah.
She's killing it on her sketch shows too,
yeah,
on HBO.
Yeah.
And HBO is really good to her. They are, though.
I will say they do treat her well.
She's always got a fucking show. She had like a little bit part that was really funny on Girls a couple weeks
That's
ago.
That's right. Uh-huh. It was fun. It was too short, but
it was
fun.
Way too short.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're going to give Matthew Reese an entire episode, let's fucking
right.
write a whole thing for Tracy Ullman,
yeah,
please.
Thoughts, exactly. Okay, so Glass Menagerie.
Oh, it, oh, then it was fine.
Yeah.
It
Just
was good.
Talk to us about Sally Field. Did she give you full drag?
She gave you screen actress on the stage.
Really?
Okay. Which was like good, but just like you just notice, you realize that like, oh, stage acting is
very different.
Is very different.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish I was watching a stage. She was great and like
Cherry
emotional.
Jones just did it, right?
Yeah.
I would pay good money
Love
to see Cherry.
Cherry.
Yeah.
The children have forgotten Cherry.
Cherry
kinda,
Jones.
You know why? Because the yeah. children never really got to know Cherry.
I think we need to be celebrating our dykes more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so let's
yeah.
please call to the stage Cherry Jones. Let's
yeah.
please call to the stage Holland Taylor. Let's
yes.
please call to the stage Sarah Paulson.
All Sarah
again.
Paulson's ex-girlfriends.
I was going to exactly. say. Imagine, oh, that love triangle. I'm not sure it was ever a triangle.
Honestly,
Sarah left
I want to put them in a movie together, all three of them, and watch them burn it up.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Put those women in a 1950s drama directed by Todd Haynes and
yes.
let me fucking die watching it.
Yes. Throw sold. Julianne Moore in there too.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, or just do a biopic of their trysts.
Honestly,
Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy.
Feud.
Get real
Feud.
Meta.
Sarah Paulson.
Cold.
Honestly, how meta.
Cold.
And she could play Cherry. if we did a Ryan Murphy, like
no,
American
no, no, no.
Horror Story.
Kathy Bates would play Cherry Jones.
Thank
yes.
you.
Sarah Paulson would play Holland Taylor.
Yeah.
yeah.
And fucking
Emma Roberts would play
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah. Sarah Paulson.
Yeah. Cole, pitch this to Ryan when you go to the party.
I will. I'll scream from it's not like I won't even
screening.
See them.
Right.
You know, it's not like I was personally invited.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
just
yeah,
like
yeah,
a,
yeah. I went to the premiere of season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race,
oh,
and
yeah.
like Ru was there, but it wasn't like I just sat at a table with him and like he bent over and asked how I was.
Sure,
yeah.
sure, sure.
You know,
yeah,
it's
sure.
like these
he
things are complicated.
Who you are.
Yeah. yeah. Who the fuck like, are you?
Please leave my table.
I need to get changed. It's my dressing room.
Then
okay,
Hello Dolly.
So Hello Dolly. And that, was us. That the last one you saw?
No, that was the middle one.
So that probably, did that ruin the rest of them for you? Because it must have been a
Well,
gag.
The first one was War Paint, then Hello Dolly that night. Mm-hmm. And it was the feeling that you got doing
oh, no.
plays in high school.
Oh no.
Like that good feeling.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like remember like how exciting it was to be
yeah.
in a play?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like that feeling.
But in the audience?
Just like watching. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Like it brought that feeling up of just like pure
joy. Pure
joy. Like theater
for the,
joy.
For
like
being
like
there.
Pretty costumes.
Yeah.
And like, whoa, there's a train.
Uh-huh. And Bette laid it out.
Yeah. Yep. It's Bette Midler in Hello
it's
Dolly.
Bette Midler. I mean, come
oh
on.
She does
God.
That little scurry walk across the stage at one point.
Wow.
She's, yeah.
Do you think it's going to be impossible to get tickets?
I mean, I think you can still. I would. If you can. I think you can. They're ridiculously expensive.
I'm
like,
on Today
even,
Ticks and it's not. And nothing's opening up.
Well,
yeah.
I fucking. We saw Glenn Close for like $65.
Yeah. And the nosebleeds, though.
Glenn Close.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, but here's the thing. So okay. Henry and I were in London, like 10 months ago, and she was doing it there.
Right.
Oh,
and
right,
it was
right.
a whole different story. Like, you could not get a seat. And then someone reminded me, you will know she did this part in on Broadway already. Like, kind of people have already seen it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that would have been really excited about it have already seen it in New
yeah.
York. Or if they didn't, they fucking went to London to see it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they made sure they done seen
Glenn
Close
yeah.
already do Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's not as exciting. I think it's maybe more for her.
And yeah. low key, we were in like the fifth mezzanine and it
yeah.
was pretty empty.
It was
yeah.
empty.
Yeah.
It was not a good turnout.
So, but, and this is, I just want to mention this before we move on. Glenn's entrance was from like the top tier of the stage.
Of course.
And so
you couldn't see her.
So people start applauding and then Aaron, Henry and Matt are just like, oh, what's going on? Oh, we're applauding Glenn's feet. Like it's,
oh, right.
like that's the entrance.
Right.
Everybody.
She had like after with one look,
mm-hmm.
she got a standing ovation after
okay.
as if
we never
said goodbye. Yeah. Standing ovation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then she came out for four, count them, four curtain calls.
Which is
end.
On the low
and
end.
Let me tell you, we only asked for two.
But four is on the low end because I hear like the average is six.
She wouldn't get off. She wouldn't get off. And then I was saying, oh, no. Probably what's going on is like, because every time she would come back on, the lead actor would come on as well. Oh, and I was like, probably she's getting off and then being like, okay, now, and this time I'll just go. Me. It'll just be me. And then he just follows her every time. Yeah. Like, we got to do it again. And it's just me this time. I don't want to do four, but like, I will if you don't. Right. Stop fucking doing what you're doing.
Right, right. Oh, there was just none of that with Miss Bette.
How many curtain calls did Bette take?
Just the one, like the one like with the company, and then graceful. The one by herself, and like you know, and you know, like a huge ovation when she entered. And, you know,
it's Bette. I mean, come on,
it's Bette, and everyone in the cast is so fucking good.
I'm sure.
Barnaby, are there any other like stars Barnaby? In it?
Gavin Creel.
Oh, cool.
This actor Taylor Trench, who's I think he's gonna get a Tony.
Wow, really?
Well, I don't
think
know.
I know. But, of I mean,
oh yeah, he was Blake Dan. He and Blake Daniel dated for.
Oh,
a while.
Oh, okay, small okay, world. Okay. Friend yes, it show. Is a small world.
Friend of the show.
Hello Dolly has a very special place in my heart. It was like one of the first live musicals I ever saw.
Sure.
And I just fell in love with the form.
Uh-huh. Of musical theater.
A musical theater. Mm-hmm. Truly. I was like, oh, this is, and it was a well done high school production of it.
The and worst thing.
What?
There was a drunk woman next to me.
No.
And there was, who kept like going, woo!
No.
And no. not even clapping, just like waving her hand
yeah.
in the air.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. It was that. And then there was behind me a senile old man with his adult daughter who clearly this daughter was like, oh, this dad used to love this show. I'll take him to see Hello Dolly.
Sure.
He had no idea where he was. He was talking the whole time, like singing. He kept singing Hello Dolly, like during like Ribbons Down My Back. Like
oh, no.
Even how he would sing Hello Dolly.
Oh, no.
And then he kept like trying to make out with her, his daughter.
No.
And yeah.
That's
I could just
horrible.
Like hear all this going on behind me. And I was like, please, I paid so much money for this ticket for my birthday.
God.
But the show.
When is your birthday?
That, November 25th.
Oh, okay. So you bought it back then.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Wonderful. Right when it went on sale.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm going to make that my mission because I feel like I got to see
it. I really
yes.
want to see it.
You should also go back and see Donna Murphy when she does it on Tuesdays.
Oh, I'd love to see Donna. Yeah.
Donna Murphy Donna's stepping doing, in on Tuesdays?
Yeah. She's doing Tuesdays
do
after it opens, yeah.
Would pay good money to see Donna.
I didn't know
and you
that.
Know her husband just died.
Oh, no.
That's tragic.
Producer
Joe is
laughing.
Giggling.
You know what? You're not a part of this community,
you're not
okay?
At all. Have some respect.
Tish drama. He also was Tish drama. Okay.
Please, I invented this community.
Quote saying producer
too much.
Joe.
Wow, he's never been this vocal. Who
yes.
knew it would take us attacking his gay credentials?
Yeah.
Oh my God, right. Donna Murphy.
Although you know what, I will say this.
What?
Not a Tangled fan, but will often listen to Mother Knows Best. Take it from your mumsy. It's scary
yeah.
world out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
yeah.
it.
It has that movie has one of the best villain reprises.
Rapunzel Knows Best.
I love a reprise.
Fine,
reprise.
If you're so sure
but
now.
A villain reprise.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Ursula deserved a Poor Unfortunate Souls reprise.
She got one.
Did she?
No. I think there's an element of the song at the
not in the film, not in the movie.
I don't know. I think that there was something.
No, you know what? Fact checkers get on this. I don't think it's there. Anyway.
Wait, what would it, how would it have gone?
It would have been like,
now
it's
she's
true,
gotten
I...
her legs and I'm getting my voice. I don't know how. Oh, wait, no, she does.
She does.
With Vanessa.
Oh.
When she's Vanessa, doesn't she cackle and then like sing a line?
Yeah.
As Vanessa?
No, it's she like starts cackling and then the necklace starts to glow and then her form changes into Vanessa and it's just her laughing and laughing and laughing.
No. She does have a little bit of a song as she transforms into Vanessa because there's a part
oh
where
God.
It goes from Pat
oh,
Carroll's
no, you're
voice
right, you're right. It's Pat
to
God bless Pat Carroll. It's when she's human and she's
yes.
in the palace and she's looking at a mirror and
you're
her reflection is Ursula.
You're right.
I can't. Thank
oh my God.
Enough whoever decided to name that character Vanessa.
Oh my God.
How iconic. Oh. Like the evil version, the evil hot version
Vanessa.
Of fucking
Ariel.
No, what's
of,
her face?
Of Ursula.
Ursula is going to be
Vanessa. Like I don't remember, I don't think this happened, but in my mind there was a moment when I watched it and hearing her name Vanessa thinking, thank you.
Yeah.
Like yes, like that's even the as name. A young, thank you young, for that name. Young,
unaware gay, we're like, that feels right.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Did Pat Carroll pass away?
I imagine that she must.
Think
have.
She might still be alive.
Really?
Oh, my phone's on airplane mode.
Yeah, we must be on.
But
airplane.
You'd be surprised who's alive. Glynis Johns is alive.
Really? Who is she? I'm not familiar.
Send in the Clown.
Yeah.
The original Send Little in the Night Clown. Music.
Right,
and
right.
She also played, this is another like culture moment, birth moment for me, was the movie Superstar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
At one point, Glynis Johns, who plays her grandmother, is watching the movie of Gypsy.
Oh.
And I was like 12 and I was like, I need to see that movie. And so then I did like detective work, you can hear one song of one line of Everything's Coming Up Roses, and I found the musical based on that line.
And you watched it at a young age.
Yeah.
See, that was me with, I've talked about this before, Funny Girl. Oh, my mom loved Barbara Streisand, and Sudi and I saw her in concert. Like, I love Barbara deeply.
Yeah.
And that was like the one.
Oh, right.
One
we
I
saw
watched.
It the same night.
Yeah, we did go the same night. Yes. Yeah. So, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But also, that concert got ruined for me by the conservative woman who sat behind me who was screaming at her to shut up about politics.
You have to know.
You came to a Barbra Streisand concert in the middle of the biggest election of all time. Like, what the fuck did you think? She's in Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah, that's.
But she was incredible and
so relaxed.
So amazing. Pretty. And Funny Girl, to me, one of the most iconic performances ever.
But it's so weird how we find those things.
Right. Like, what a tangential way for you to like get to arrive at that. Because you expect when people sort of toss off these references and these these movies that it's like, oh, well, of course you very organically found it. But it's like it very rarely ever works out that way.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the best live performance you've ever seen?
Oh.
I know my answer.
I have an answer. It's very basic. But
what?
I probably have a different answer, but just on the criterion of live performance, Beyonce Formation World Tour. And it's very basic, blew my mind.
That was, I was thinking in a more theatrical space.
Okay, so then that's a different.
No,
okay,
because you know what? Yeah, for sure. When I saw her do her four performance at Roseland, that was unbelievable. But I was thinking, I remember when I was young, I was like 11 or 12, 13 years old. And we went to the city. Came in from Long Island, and we went to the TKTS booth to get like cheap tickets or something. And this was right after Sutton Foster had won a Tony
for Thoroughly. Thoroughly.
Yeah. And
for
so
Thoroughly.
For Thoroughly. I'm going to call it Thoroughly.
Yeah.
For Thoroughly Modern Millie. And she was the like name over Drowsy Chaperone.
Oh.
So we got tickets to see the preview of Drowsy Chaperone, and she gagged the house down.
Oh, yeah,
there's
a number
called Show Off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, it was a feat.
You know, I'm friends with Lisa Lambert, who wrote the lyrics.
She's fantastic.
Like, yeah. And she, when I was in Toronto, that's where she wrote the show, and she was like, "Want me to show you the house where I wrote Show Off?"
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's
amazing. We'll post it on the website.
That number is incredible, and it's truly, it's so funny because I love that. I love that. Like, I'm like ignorant to my own talents. Boom, boom, boom.
Comedy, yeah.
It's so good. It's just so stock. But when someone can really fucking nail it, and my God, Sutton Foster she's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. I can't think of it was in the same room, but I will regularly watch Sutton Foster's rehearsal if anything goes.
Yeah, she's
where she just fucking tap dances for 10 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Cole, what about you?
Ellen Green in the Little Shop concert at City Center.
Wow.
Because did you guys see it?
No, I didn't see it, but I heard it was fucking.
I mean, talk about ovation for
every
line reading. And she was ripping her heart out, everyone's hearts out. Like the whole audience was respectful.
Yeah.
Reverential.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And, better be. And gagging.
Yeah.
And gagging.
Yeah. And how was Jake?
The trifecta.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was good enough, but not competing. And it was he let her have all her moments. She would take 10 minutes for one word, and the whole audience would be take your time.
Yeah, get it, girl.
Your time.
Oh my God, and, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was like, it was one of those things where like I had to like, instead of going to the closest train, I was like, I'm going to walk like a few stops because I need to just
think
like
this out.
Let this sink in.
Whoa. Yeah.
But every time I've seen Beyonce, I walked after. Yeah. I was like, I got to walk that gotta off. Take a that walk. Was so fucking crazy.
Yeah. So and that was my go-to. And now I'm blanking on like a theatrical performance, but we'll get back to it.
Well, you know, I actually saw Patty in Gypsy 2. Yeah. And
Gypsy 2. Mama's Revenge.
But I saw her do like a matinee of the show, and I was in the way back, and I think she marked her shit. But I don't know, not to come for Patty, she fucking is amazing. But
she's not above marking.
No, but I'm, and you know what? It was like a Wednesday where she had to do the show again later, right. And I think I might have gotten like the reserved version of Mama. And also, I have to be honest, like from a young age, I probably every single day watched the Bernadette Peters Tony Awards performance.
Yes.
And that is, to me, one of the best performances ever captured on film.
Have you seen the clips of Angela doing it?
No.
There's, like, clips. Like, of course, they didn't have that, like, the technology to, like, film the whole thing secretly then. But there are, like, enough clips. There's a clip of her Rose's Turn, like, the tail end of it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, we'll put it on the website.
We'll put it on the website. Yeah.
To bring it back to Bette, Bette's pretty iconic, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's, like... Patty, unfortunately, fifth place. Fourth place, I give it to Bette. Third place, Imelda Staunton.
Second
place, Bernadette. First place, Chris Colfer on Glee. Definitive Rose's Turn.
Leave.
I'd switch
Imelda. Imelda is peasant food.
Ooh!
Imelda's is very Alpo. Restrained.
Oh my God. Alpo.
Restraint's not the right word. Alpo.
Before the performance started, someone said, Imelda, here's your inspiration. Dog food. And she's like, okay. She's disgusting. I hate all her choices. She's cheap and she's vulgar.
Did you just see the performance of Rose's Turn, or did you just see? I saw the whole thing. You did.
Oh, okay. Well, because it was they filmed it.
Right.
They did. And it's awful. She's awful.
She's awful.
Did you like Vera Drake?
I did.
Yeah.
But again, that's a common woman. You know?
She plays a peasant.
She's a peasant.
She was the perfect Umbridge. Harry Potter, your Harry Potter.
She was an incredible Umbridge.
I missed the boat on Harry Potter.
Sure, sure. No worries. But she was great.
The wrong age.
Totally, totally.
I have a question for you.
Uh huh.
Cola Scola's going on vacation. Where do you go? What do you do?
You know, it's my dream. I've never really taken myself on a vacation.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to Switzerland.
Oh, great.
I want to just be in the mountains and go on the balcony and have my coffee every morning and look at the Alps.
You want to look at the Alps. You want to land in Zurich and just have fun.
Yeah. I want to go down to the desk and be like, can you recommend a nice place for lunch?
Ugh.
And then I walk there and I pass a farm with some cows.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Going to Europe is very bad, I feel. It's like... Where should I go? And while I'm getting there, I'm going to stop and enjoy because you know what? I'm in a new place.
Yeah, I'm almost too young for the trip I want to take.
Oh, you think
like,
so?
Like I want very much like a Geraldine Page Trip to Bountiful moment, you know?
Yes, I do.
Like just like arms crossed, lace gloves, you know.
Have you ever been to Disney World?
I haven't, but I have... I recently went to Disneyland.
Okay. Uh-huh. Different. Thoughts? I'm happy that you know how different it is.
I do know how different it is.
Yeah.
It was smaller than I remembered it because I went as a 12-year-old and it was lot less
it's
fun.
Antique.
Yeah.
Well, 12 is...
I call it antique. 12 is an interesting age to go for the first time.
Well, I was obsessed with Disney when I was a child.
Sure.
That was another like gay culture thing. I would stay up and watch Vault Disney, which was the Disney Channel at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. would show all their olds. It was like Nick at Night, but for the Disney Channel.
Sure, sure.
So I would watch all those Annette Funicello, Hayley Mills movies. Anyway, I was so excited to be in Disneyland when I was 12 and got a picture with every princess, wore the same Disneyland sweatshirt like every day.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's a different thing when you're that age, obviously. And then
is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I still gag for it.
Cole, I would encourage you to
visit
keep
Disney
an open
World.
Mind about Disney World.
Okay.
Not even Disney World, Universal Studios.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm open.
Because you, I think, would appreciate Harry Potter world, even though...
Mm-hmm. I love a world.
And that you can get your worlds.
I love a different world. Like, put me in a... I remember...
You love
I
went an immersive experience.
Yes. I went to Flintstone Land when I was little.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This was in Canada. We had relatives there. And it was one of the more traumatizing memories because we were on the bus. There were no characters about. Except for when we were on this bus going around, I saw Betty Rubble out, like, taking photos with
fucking,
people.
I thought you were going to say fucking smoking a cigarette fucking on her break.
Smoking a cigarette. No, but I really wanted, but they wouldn't stop the bus for me to get off.
Oh, fuck them.
And then I was crying, and then the bus driver, like, made a joke about it, and everyone laughed at me.
Oh, my God. That motherfucker.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Did you feel something change inside you and then you were gay?
I felt like at that moment everyone was telling me like you're gay. Yes. You need to pull it back.
Jesus. Isn't it funny when you flash back to those moments when you realize, oh wait, that thing that I remember that was traumatizing, there was a you're gay element.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like shh, we don't talk about that. Like you can like Betty Rubble at home, but when you're out, you like Fred, okay?
I sat on Santa's lap and asked for a Barbie and he said, "You want what?" You want a Barbie?
Oh,
no, boys don't get Barbies. Santa Claus said that to me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you remember when McDonald's would have Hot Wheels and Barbies and you'd have to go through the drive-thru and be like, "Mom,
can you please?
I want the girl toy."
Yeah.
And then your mom would have to be like, "Can we get one Happy Meal with the boy toy and one with the girl toy?"
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And just like act like that was like an accident somehow. Yeah. Like, what, Mom?
What are you talking about? Oh, fine, I guess. I mean, I have a few of the other ones, so.
Yeah.
I already have all the Hot Wheels. I'll give it to my little sister who doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Our moms were our original hags.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I.
Okay, so we do have to take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be right back and we're going to talk more about Feud because we didn't even start to break the surface. We'll be right back with Cola Scola.
Ding dong.
Bitch, I hope that you're sitting down at this moment.
Yes.
Because I'm about to give you something. It's a little bit of an offer.
It's a little offer.
And you're going to want to take advantage of this.
Yes.
Okay, for you, the listeners of Las Culturistas, and thank you so much for listening, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com.
$50?
You got to take advantage of this. Ugh. Yes. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, bitch, at a shockingly fair price, okay? Mm. It's got the right sink. It's got the right bounce because it's made up of two technologies. It's latex foam and memory foam, and they come together for this amazing sleep. Recently, my boyfriend and Henry and I, we were looking for a new apartment and we needed to stay with some friends. So our one friend, Patrick, let us stay with him. And he said, "I have a Casper mattress." And I had heard about Casper mattress, but I had never slept on one. Let me tell you, I'm not even joking. I was out when I laid down. I couldn't wait to be laying in the bed.
You got your life. You couldn't wait to be laying in the bed.
I got my life. It's really the best mattress I've ever had. We talk about it.
And Patrick was like, "This is a status symbol. Honey, I have a Casper mattress."
He was like, "You want to stay at my apartment? I have a Casper mattress." So now it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade.
Give it the Oscar
for
mattresses.
Rightfully so. So I don't know what you're waiting for. You got to get one. So this is an offer for $50 off any mattress purchase. You got to go to CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, one more time, write it down, bitch. Don't let it pass you by. Mm. www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas for $50 towards any mattress purchase. I mean, that's like, you gotta do it.
You gotta do it.
You're stupid to not do it.
You're stupid not to.
At least look into it.
And here's what else you should look into. Warby Parker glasses, honey.
You gotta put these on your face.
Take it from me, honey. I've got a pair of Warbys at home, and I love them so much. Gag. We're sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is offering Las Culturistas listeners with a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses.
This is such a good deal.
Such a good deal. And they have a frame called Bowen, and it comes in many colors.
Oh, my God.
I love it
so
much.
Do you have the Bowen glasses?
I don't, but I should, right?
I mean, you should at least get them to try them on for 5 days for free.
Thank
and get
you.
Opinions on them.
Great
I mean,
idea.
Come on.
They make buying glasses online easy and risk-free because their home try-on program allows customers like you to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to their homes, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home and get feedback from friends, family, colleagues, enemies.
I mean, come on. Ugh. Your enemies will see you in these Warby Parkers and they'll be like, oh, damn it, they have the upper hand on me today.
And you can
say, they look good.
Yes, and you can say, eat your heart out to
yeah,
your enemies.
Yeah, and you know what? You can see your enemies for who they really are because you'll be seeing very well because you're wearing the Warby Parkers.
That's beautiful, Matt. I love it. Users can keep the frames for 5 days before sending them back for free using the prepaid return shipping labels with no obligation to purchase.
I told my mom about this deal today and she could not believe it.
She couldn't?
Like, this is obviously an amazing company.
Get Katrina to try on some glasses.
I will, I think.
I think she could slay in some frames, honey.
She does on the daily.
On the daily. Honey,
all you moms out there that listen to Las Culturistas, get yourself a pair of Warby Parkers.
And hey, once the surge in the market just goes crazy towards moms, Warby Parker will have us to thank.
Yeah.
To get your free home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, write this down, bitch. That's www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas for your free 5-day home try-on.
All right, that's enough of that. Let's go back to the show.
Come on. And we're back with Cola Scola.
Okay, so now, okay, let's get into it. So Cole, are you a Betty or a Joan?
Oh.
Because I know who I am.
Well, you know what? Oh my God, this is so hard. How much time do I have? 10 seconds. oh God. I mean, Betty.
You're
I'm
Betty.
A Betty
but
too.
But there are so many things about Joan that like are so much more fascinating.
Yes.
Because she... Honestly, she's a more interesting character
mm-hmm.
because okay. she is so self-conscious.
Yes.
And so, like, self-hating and so scared.
Yeah, for every reason.
For every reason. And there's so many more facets to that than Betty, who's just, like, always, like, she came out of the womb who she was.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Always brash.
Yeah. Always, yeah.
Do you have a very positive opinion of the show?
Feud? Yes.
Yeah. I'm loving it. Yeah.
I'm sort of like, I feel like we are like, it was a mistake. Like,
yeah.
How did, like,
this, like, there's too many stars aligned.
Right, yeah. Right. Like, why do we get this? Like, this isn't like, I feel like we're going to like be taxed at the end of the
yeah,
year.
It's like, remember when you had
like,
feud?
Yeah.
You get...
Like, remember when you had to check gay last year? Well, yeah. This year you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
like, and you know what? I'm fine.
Yeah.
I would pay for that.
If that's where my tax money is going to,
if
more
it's going
shit,
to
like feud.
Feet, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Like yeah. I trust him with my money more than maybe anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm really obsessed with it and
yeah.
I'm loving it and I really it was very hard but I'm fucking living for Sarandon in this
mm-hmm.
Sarandon's great and
she drove me nuts during the election
of course, but
she is I think she's perfectly suited to
yes,
it
me too
god damn it Joan you're good
yeah
wow solid impression
yeah
when you're good Joan god damn it you're good.
Jessica Lange had this really funny line reading in this last one, and I can't remember the exact words. I remember the weird word choice she made, but it was like where she was slamming her dressing room door. It was some line about how Gloria Swanson deserved the Oscar.
Oh, it wasn't you who was robbed in 1962.
It was
Gloria
Swanson.
Swanson.
No, but and then she goes, yeah. It was Gloria Swanson, you bitch. It was that weird inflection.
You bitch.
Guttural.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, and also just like everything about the show, it's just like drenched in like authentic like set design.
Yes, I know.
And like
the art direction is
it's
beautiful.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really is. And also all the supporting cast, this actress Allison
Wright.
Can
we talk about Catherine Zeta-Jones and Kathy Bates?
Yes, we
They're
need
the
them.
They're the worst part of the show, I
yeah,
think.
But we
I think
need
we
them.
Don't need
don't,
them.
We don't need them because all they do is tell us what just happened and
sure.
like what's about to happen.
But to be fair, I'm two episodes behind. But
yeah.
I feel like it's like
they don't do anything different.
And
it's
also,
just that
it's
talking
not
head.
It's not driving anything. But I think it's also just a nice stylistic choice of Ryan Murphy to be like, okay, well then there's this like. Frame like it's like in Pretty Little Lies, it's like in Big Little Lies where it's like they interview the fucking townspeople. It's like you don't
yeah.
mean it, but it's also like a nice framing device that is not totally functional.
But that
like
is
it.
Functional. Like the framing device in Big Little Lies is like
the Greek
the police.
Chorus.
Is like
it's, the Greek
it's
chorus,
like
sure,
but it's also functional because it's a police investigation.
Right.
So it's real. Okay, whereas this is like a documentary about them.
Yeah, or that takes place then because they're the same age. Yeah. That's what happened.
Right.
Also, they're both so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Catherine is great.
But no, she's so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's such a, okay. She's and I think she's really talented. Like, yeah. I've lived for her in Chicago, and I've lived for her so many times. She's so bad in this part, right. And so is Kathy Bates. And also, Kathy Bates killed in
Coven,
and like she's killed so many times in her career, but she's not always good in these Ryan Murphy shows.
But, oh God, maybe the best thing that we've ever gotten from Ryan Murphy is Kathy Bates' accent in Freak Show.
Freak Show. That Philadelphia
bizarre. Accent.
So I'm touching them girls.
Would pay to see Cole just do a show where he just replicates that Philadelphia accent? No, the worst part of Feud is Kiernan Shipka.
She is not the worst part.
Oh. Absolutely, she's the worst part. She is like just too.
As Beattie Hyman.
Yeah. She's just too. What
just don't like her as an actress.
She's over camping it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that, but it's like it's not it's not a match with.
But this last episode, I think, was the best episode yet.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Catch up. Yeah. I agree.
Because now that the filming of Baby Jane is over, like, this is the actual, like, interesting.
Now it's where it gets really interesting because, so, basically, for those that are watching the show, or, like, just to where we're at right now, if you're listening to it at a certain time, like, in the series right now, filming is over.
They just announced the
Oscars.
Well,
the end of the episode is, like, Joan Crawford finds out she was not nominated for Best Actress. Mm-hmm. And historically, yes, Betty Davis was. And that's going to lead to a certain event happening that's, like, what this whole thing is about.
Yeah.
But it's so fascinating. Joan Crawford, she couldn't enjoy success.
Right.
She was someone who constantly, almost, like, out of fear, like, would rather live in a place of failure and self-hatred.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that this was a huge success, like, she gets this taste of being happy when the fans are really enjoying it and it's this, like, camp success. But then when the actual critics post their reviews and, like, give their notices, Betty Davis gets all the love and all the attention, and Joan Crawford is, like, you know,
not praised. But
how about
that moment when they're screening the movie and then... Joan comes out of the theater and everyone's like, it's Joan. It's Joan Crawford.
It's Joan Crawford.
I cried.
Wow.
I was like, well done, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
it was,
you.
It
Thank
was
you,
amazing.
Murphy.
But then just like, what an amazing character examination. Like, and I'm it's now kind of like, it feels like, yes, the more interesting story is happening with Joan Crawford because I think she was just a more fascinating, like, harder to crack person. And I'm wondering if he's going to try to, like, push those stakes up a little bit with the Betty Davis character as well, because we really haven't seen her, like, struggle. In fact, it's very easy to be on her side because you get that Betty Davis just wanted to go there and do the work and create a great piece.
Yeah.
Which is easier to sympathize with. And I'm wondering if now we're going to see the kind of Joan Crawford, like, the mastermind, like, and we're going to really feel for Betty at the end when what happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see. I think the show is fabulous.
It's suspiciously good. It's what Cole was saying. It's suspiciously good.
Yeah.
I'm never on board for Ryan Murphy.
I feel like we are putting on our mom's dresses. And at any moment, she's going to come in and be like,
yeah,
what
this
are
is
you doing?
Yeah,
and
never
we're going to have to explain ourselves.
Yeah.
Someone's going to come in and be like, what is this show? And we're going to have to be like, it's nothing. We were just playing around with your actresses. We're sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you can have him back. Like,
Joan Crawford
playing around with her actors.
Her line reading, she's, I think Jessica Lange is killing it.
Yeah.
Just like, and also when Betty Davis goes, God damn it, Joan, you're good. And then Joan Crawford goes, do you really think so? And Susan's like, yeah.
Like, on YouTube, there is Joan Crawford reading her autobiography, My Way of Life, which is sort of like a how-to guide of, like, how to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the original Blake Lively, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Exactly.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
The Goop of that time.
Mm-hmm. 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 And I highly recommend going on to YouTube and searching Joan Crawford, My Way of Life.
We'll put it on the blog.
Put it on the blog. It's going to be a rich post.
That blog that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should. You should have a Tumblr and post, you know, related pics.
We, you know, we should have as a fucking Facebook page. We didn't even have that. We need to get that shit together.
Yeah. I made one a few months ago when I was drunk, and there's three people who like it. Anyway, let's go.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
But who knows? Okay, so Joan Crawford has this.
Oh yeah. It's just.
Oh, you're just telling people. You're giving it a signal boost. Yeah. Just go and check it out.
So is whatever happened to Baby Jane like one of your faves?
Actually, not really.
Mm-hmm. What do you like?
Mildred. You like Mildred?
I do like Mildred, but I actually prefer Joan's earlier stuff.
Ah.
Where she was like, I'm not as young and hungry and played like. I recently went into a place where I was watching her silent movies.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Our Dancing Daughters is this one where she plays like a flapper, and they're all about like how she's a flapper and has this immoral lifestyle, and everyone looks down on her, and then she makes some grave sacrifice and ends up like giving up the man she loves because she doesn't want him to marry a marked woman.
Wow.
Because she like was engaged to someone else. So grandma's talking
film?
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Some deep storytelling.
Well, yeah, this was before the Hayes Code where they were, all these I don't know how old the fan base is out there, but there was something in the later 30s called the Hayes Code, and that's when movies had to like live up to a moral standard, right. And like bad guys had to have their comeuppance, mm-hmm. which is why in movies like The Letter, the Betty Davis movie, in the play version, she like gets away with the murder, but in the movie, like she has to like pay for it at the very end. Somehow.
Oh yeah, that's a direct.
So do you think that like this was like you got really like kind of obsessed with like these kind of movies?
Yes, and absolutely.
It definitely informed like the kind of characters you play in the work you do now. 100%.
Yes. Yeah.
See, I feel the same. Because, like, I find that the kind of character that I gravitate towards are, like, some people, like girls that I idolized growing up, which was, like, honestly, like, Alicia Silverstone. Like, I'm from Long Island, so I saw her, and I was like, what's the deal with that?
Yes.
I was like, what is going on there? Hot young girls, like in high school that, like, took themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
Like, that never stopped being fascinated to me, and that really shows up still in the stuff that I
Absolutely.
Do. So it's fascinating to hear that, like, that's, like, a real...
Oh
thing.
Yeah.
You draw it back to that. You interpolate or whatever.
Like you imprint on something at a young age and it never really goes away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
I mean, Cole's the preeminent master of that.
I agree. You also do that theater director character.
Uh-huh. Oh, my Diane.
Diane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever know Liz Suedos?
No.
Have you ever heard of her?
I've heard that name.
Yeah, she was a theater director. She passed away a couple years ago, but I worked with her, and I thought, oh my God, I wonder if he knows Liz Suedos, because she was like a La Mama, real presence, like on the downtown, like, Lower East Side. Like, she wrote the show Runaways. It was Tony nominated back in the day, and she kind of like ended up working with young kids, and like just the way that you behave as that character is Liz, down to the wig, that like kind of like
stringy,
blocky, stringy, like blacked out, like and just like
covers what side
solid,
of your face.
Yeah. Like kind of like, I don't care about this, but of course I fucking do.
Right.
Like I know exactly the way I look, but like you don't think so.
Yeah.
Diane.
Yeah.
Oh, she's sort of based on like in every, you know, like community theater elders that like, that just were so full of lore and like you were there for it. And like, and like, that's what can happen if you don't put your prop down in the right place.
Yeah.
Like, and just like telling you these stories as if they were like ghost stories,
but
like
just,
you know, like,
But the lore, meanwhile, was like not even that
compelling
in the end.
No.
Oh,
it was always like, and if you don't, we did not have the basket of grapes for our town square sequence. And I kid you not, we had six actors out there that were all looking at each other. What are we doing? But what you don't know is the audience is looking to you for what to do. And you're like, oh, okay. Like you just
and
like
they didn't feel living. Safe.
Right.
And therefore, like, we so didn't you, do our job today.
Yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
That's so real. Also, I'll never forget a character you played at your show, Ethnic Realness, when it was downstairs at the Pit.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Convertibles.
Oh, my
Convertibles.
God.
Your
That's
character
right.
of Jennifer Convertibles was very good.
And thank you. Thanks.
Of
I'm
course.
Glad that was... a positive memory for
an
you.
amazing blackout line. This whole soapy drama sequence about Jennifer Convertibles
owner, I guess, and you can correct me, of the Jennifer Convertibles empire.
Yeah.
And she ends up like solving this like plot to like, I guess, kill her.
Uh-huh.
And the last line is, but Jennifer, how did you figure it out?
Oh, it was right. Like it was someone, I thought it was Ashley Home Furniture had come to kill me, but it turned out to be IKEA.
IKEA. Yeah.
And I put it, it's, well, it was IKEA. I put the pieces together myself. Right.
Yeah, blackout. Yeah. Honestly, amazing.
I'll probably do that at Joe's Pub.
Oh, please do.
Very happy.
Thanks.
Also, wait. Then there's, of course, I mean, this is like sing the praises of Cole Hour right now, but maybe one of the best videos online is Happy Orange.
Oh, thanks.
That's so good.
Thanks.
Oh, my Happy God. Orange. Just go home. Google search.
Happy Orange.
Cola Scola. Happy, or like Cola Scola, what would
mom
you
commercial.
Mom commercial? Mom commercial. Have you just type in all the buzzwords? You will be very glad that you did. It is such a ride.
That I've always wanted to be like moms in commercials. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I remember like my first TV appearance was when I was 11 years old.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh,
I called in to QVC
and
gave
God.
A testimonial on the air.
As a mother?
As a mother.
Oh no. Yeah. And they bought it?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say, I didn't say anything. Like, I took it very seriously. I was like, I didn't want to say anything outrageous. I was just like, it was some product. It was some like carpet clean, like rug cleaner, like rug shampooer.
I love that.
And I was like, I have, you know, 4 kids. They're in and out and it's great. We also have a fireplace and it just, you wouldn't even know it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah. This is why this podcast exists.
Yeah. For moments like that.
We dig for that moment. Oh my God. That's incredible.
Oh my God. That's like, that's brave too.
I was shaking.
I mean, shaking.
Sure, that I was going to get caught, that like I was going to say something wrong, you know.
That was like one of the first primordial tests for you.
Yeah.
As a performer.
Absolutely.
Did you always perform?
There was this traveling troupe called Missoula Children's Theater.
Oh, I think I've heard of them.
It was like 2 actors that would put a show on in a week, rehearse, and then the shows would be on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And up until I was like 12, I did those shows every year.
Oh, cool.
And I would cry every time the professional actors left town.
Oh. Because they became like a little...
I was like, there goes the only thing that made me happy all year.
Wow. Oh, shit.
Wow. You know? And where are they now?
Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Still
doing it. Still doing it.
Still out. Rapunzel. Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you know, community theater.
Yeah, of course.
High school theater. What role? Okay, wait. Have you talked about this in previous episodes?
I'm happy to rehash it.
Okay.
No, yeah. About roles?
Roles in high school.
See... I actually didn't perform until I was in college.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't start.
Did you do show choir? Choir?
No, I did
nothing.
I was very deeply in the closet.
Wow.
And I did sports. I did track and field and cross country.
But this is the remarkable thing about Matt is that once he was liberated into that sphere, it just, this depth of knowledge just
was
like
there,
all locked into place.
I was always sitting there like doing my research. Like when I was close, I don't even know how to describe that in like a cool way, but like I was never into, like the second I got to be by myself, mm-hmm. I was like listening to like Margaret Cho's stand up albums.
So it
you
was
know
like,
I mean?
like
I was
single like, white female, like single white gay male.
Yeah.
Like, you were just you were like stalking the version of yourself you wanted.
Exactly.
To be.
Oh,
exactly.
Great.
I mean, like it was very that. It was like, you know, one day I'll be able to tell someone that I have this Sandra Bernhardt album memorized.
Yeah. Yeah.
But until then, I can't be a 15 year old boy on Long Island. And
funny is the reason I came out is because I wanted to rent Queer as Folk from Hollywood Video.
Oh my God.
Did you have Hollywood Video? It was like,
we had Hollywood Video. Yeah.
Like, and then I also wanted to buy Judy Garland's Carnegie Hall album.
Yep.
Like I had other albums of hers, but I was like, for some reason in my head, I was like, if I buy the Carnegie Hall album, people will know I'm gay.
Yeah.
So I just have to come out and then I can get those two things.
Yeah. And those kind of things, like that doesn't go away. Like every now and then I'll just be like, I'll find like this little creeping thing in my brain where it's like, oh, well, don't say that. It's
right.
Like too gay to say right now. And it's
right.
Like, oh, wow, but that's what I want to say. And you know what? There are a lot of people who don't think at all, like, with that.
Right. That comes up for me, like, when I'm dealing with cashiers that are like straight guys, I find myself being like, nope. That's
deepening your voice.
Plastic,
and
plastic bag.
Thanks so much.
Fine.
No, I'm all set.
No, I'm all set.
No, I'm all set.
No, I'm all set. Like as few syllables as possible. Yeah. Like
I call every straight man brother.
Oh, thank you, brother.
I'm like, thank you, brother. Really good to see you, brother.
No. It's disappointing.
I do it all the time, and you know what? I fucking hate myself all the time. You know who I do it with all the time?
Who?
Is Justin. We have a mutual friend, Justin.
Yeah.
Who I love. That I've worked with for several years, and Cole's good friends with. Yeah. He's like a beautiful straight boy.
Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And like he's become a good friend. And I'll just be like, dude, bro, man. Yeah.
Who? That's That's a friend of the show.
You've met him.
Friend of the show, Guy Branum, has said of Matt Rogers, he's a beautiful product of Long Island masculinity, but he's now the most musical theater of fags.
Yeah.
Which is just the entire art.
I'll take
of
it. Yeah. It's always what I've always wanted to be.
Yeah. Ugh. There you go. Ugh. Wow.
I try, guys.
But you did theater.
Did theater.
What were your roles?
And I've walked through this before, and it's very closely tied to the musical theater director at my high school, who was the dance teacher.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the straight plays were directed by the drama teacher, but the dance teacher came in every year, and had a great relationship with her at first, but she had this image. She just thought I was this like huge diva because I made the mistake of freshman year when I auditioned for the musical, which was Once Upon a Mattress.
You said only this role?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I said no understudy. Because I thought, first time auditioning for anything, I was like, I don't want to.
Right.
I want to just show that I want to, be a part of the actual cast.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, a bad mark to say that you were willing to be an understudy. Like, I just did not have the working knowledge to know what I was doing.
It was like a miscommunication.
Exactly. And so she pulled me aside after the audition freshman year. She was like, hey, and she explained it to me as well as she could, but that stayed with her.
Uh-huh.
And so then sophomore year was Crazy for You.
Uh-huh.
Gershwin, Jukebox musical. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Did chorus part in that as well. Yeah. And then junior year was Barnum, which is a shit show, terrible show. And my IB program kicked into gear that year, which is just this intense academic thing.
Like an AP classes thing.
Sure, yeah. And so just she thought I wasn't committing enough to the show, asked me to leave. And then my choir teacher was like trying to just rebuild that bridge.
Wow.
And he was like, you should go and talk to her. And I was like, okay. And I said this on Joel's episode. Mm-hmm. The onus was not on me as a 17-year-old.
No.
To do this.
So absolutely not.
Looking back, it was never
it's
completely the right way to deal with kids.
Right. No. And so then I had to set up a meeting with her, sit down in her office, just, grovel basically. And she took that well. And then conveniently enough, senior year was anything
goes. She passed away.
She passed.
She dropped fucking dead right there in the office.
She passed.
It was anything goes.
Anything goes. And
were you father?
I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I was.
The stowaway.
The Chinese stowaway, and it was awful. And
wait, is the character Chinese?
Well, in certain renditions. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Oh.
Or
I've never seen Anything Goes.
Okay, yeah. So
I just know.
I'm sorry. It's not the father, but it's
okay. I'm thinking of Bert Lahr, the Joel Grey part.
Right. No. So Joel Grey's part. Yeah. So the father has these two Asian stowaways.
Oh, God,
that's horrible.
Jesus Christ.
And just had to just put on the accent, and it was just the worst.
That's just okay.
And that was that was my reward for making amends with her, and it was. Just still
we're going back there tomorrow.
we're
going back there tomorrow.
And I mentioned this on Joel's episode too, the artist.
How insane.
Isn't that crazy? Like I would have killed to just have even had a measure in a fucking song, anyway.
Those teachers play politics with kids. It's shut insane. Up. It's we get that your lives are not always as big as you wanted them to be, but
right.
You
but
don't
this
have to be
MGM.
Small.
Yeah.
I get that you're running this combustion engine of ambition and whatever for kids. And you want to get that started early, but the way that it was specifically, and I'm just not acting the victim here, but just was totally inappropriate.
It's supposed to be fun.
No.
You're supposed to be.
You know what? It's show business. It's not show fun.
It's
not
show
friendship. It's show business.
You know what? You're right. You're
Thank
absolutely
you, Diane.
Right.
Diane.
I actually, now that I'm remembering, I did do one play when I was in sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was a lot of people did it. It wasn't this thing where I'm I'm interested in the arts. It was we're all doing this.
Yeah.
So I played a pirate in Peter Pan.
Oh, okay.
And this girl, Alicia, one day, who I had been really good friends with, and we had messed around a lot, because that's what all it was like us messing around, like kind of being in our places, kind of knowing our lines, whatever. And one day she turned to me and she said, "You don't take this seriously. And honestly, I don't want to be associated with someone who's not taking this seriously. And if you don't take theater seriously, then you really shouldn't be in theater club and you probably should quit."
Where is she now? Like, where is she now? Bring her up. Get your phone out. Bring her up.
I don't know, but the thing is, like, it's just funny now that I
did that shake
this.
You at that moment.
It like, did yeah. because I was like, oh wow, I'm so panicked in a way that she doesn't even understand.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yeah.
for her to come for me in this way, like, it was so much for me to even have friends and be there, and for her to come for me in this way is like so crazy.
Oh my god, you're crying.
He's literally Matt's having crying. Such a hard time reliving this.
Wait, speaking of moments, this is just one addendum I'll add to this whole, her name was Miss Wood, this dance teacher, Miss Wood saga. My moment for me that's like that is I approached her junior year, and I was like a little salty about still getting a chorus part, which was a little diva-ish.
I'm sure it was more salty than you're remembering too,
but,
or admitting.
Sure. So then, like, she had, like, pulled me aside and wanted to talk to me about it. She was like, "I don't know if your attitude's right." And again, this is monstrous of her.
Yeah.
But then the moment was this other kid, Brian Black, was there. He's this great performer. I think he's still acting now. She goes, "The reason I can't believe she said this. The reason you're in a chorus role is because," and she points to Brian, she goes, "is because he is able to go into the audition room and be a polished performer, and you still need to figure that out."
Oh my god.
And I was like,
and you're like literally a baby.
I'm 16 fucking years old.
Wow.
Anyway, Cole. High school roles for you. I mean, theater roles for
you. Just you know, Marius, Seymour.
Marius is great.
Matt and the Fantastics. I was the only like guy that did theater that could sing.
You got to eat up all those parts.
Yeah, but I didn't want to play. I wanted to play the
character roles.
You wanted Eponine.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
The character role of Eponine.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's what a fun little stroll.
Little nugget. Wait, can we talk quickly about Big Little Lies? Because you guys, this is going to be the first by the time you guys hear this, Big Little Lies will be over.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's given me my entire life.
And Cole, you're only in episode 3.
I've seen the first two.
So you're episode 3, but you guys, oh my god, it's so fucking good.
It took a long time for me to get on board with it, but I'm fully on board. I think about it, thought about it a lot today.
Reese Witherspoon is like very much my spirit guide.
She's back.
Yeah,
she's
back, sure baby. Is.
She's back.
Yeah.
Producer Alex and I were talking about this earlier. He thinks it's her best performance.
I think it's maybe her best performance of her career. And that is saying something when you actually take a second to remember that she's giving you some gold.
This is like beating out fucking Tracy, you know? Mm-hmm. And Al.
Because
and
it's like all of her most iconic roles literally rolled into
one. Yeah, it's
one.
Like Tracy Flick and Elle Woods if they had like grown up.
Mm-hmm. It's like that like determination to get whatever she wants of Tracy Flick. It's that like privilege and like bitching. It's like
frivolity
of Elle Woods. Yeah. And there's this like really like the shades of darkness she kind of showed
of June
in like
Carter
Wild
Cash.
And then like honestly her like regional specificity is pretty on point too. Yeah. I guess you could point that to Walk the Line, but like you just believe it so much.
Regional specificity,
that's what we want in an actor.
Wow. I'm sorry, we're going with someone with a little more
regional
specificity. Like, oh, absolutely, I understand.
And I literally I don't mean more than exactly that. Like,
but I love that like
she, you just weren't as regionally specific as the other people. That's like a real way to dance around some bullshit that you could be totally. saying. But I fucking love Reese. There's a monologue in episode 6.
Oh boy, baby, it's great.
Did you just see it? It's the monologue she gives to her daughter about how she's made mistakes.
I was like
Cole, you're gonna live.
I was about to fork some pad thai in my mouth.
Uh-oh.
And then she starts the monologue.
And you put it down.
I just froze. I was like,
I cried.
And just mouth agape was like, oh my god.
It was some of the best acting I've ever seen.
Do you have to eat while you watch TV? I have to eat while I watch TV.
Well, I'm usually stoned.
I'm enjoying myself
so
more.
So it's like, yeah, I mean.
I feel like I can't enjoy television or food unless they're together.
Yeah.
Like when Feud deal. Comes on, like this past weekend, I looked at the clock and it was 9:50 and I was like, oh my God, I haven't heated anything up. And I was like frantic that I needed to have food in front of me.
Wow.
In time for those opening credits.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. I feel like
is that specific to our region? Do you think?
Yeah, it's a regional.
Very regionally specific.
Honestly, the title of the episode is regional specificity.
There you go.
So basically, wait, do you eat when you're in the movie theater though? I almost always get popping corn.
No, because then all I can think about is the popcorn. I can't really focus on the movie. It's just like I love. Well, I'm worried. Do you ever hear Jacqueline Novak's like? Routine about sharing pizza, how she'll never share pizza.
I love it.
Because
great bit.
Just like got her eye on like how many pieces everyone's had.
Yeah.
All I'm thinking about is like, is there going to be popcorn when I want it? Or is like someone else going to finish
that's
why it
you
all?
You always
or,
get
like,
your own.
Yeah, but then if you get your own, often what happens is like someone will be like, no, I don't want any. And then you get popcorn and then they're like reaching over and
I'm
you're
that
like,
person.
Oh.
Matt's the person getting the popcorn. I'm the person who says he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
And then you eat it.
And then you get...
I mean, we're about to go see Power Rangers tonight, and I will get myself a popcorn
and a
big-ass soda.
Yeah. I'm getting my own food tonight, don't worry. But Matt does a very bad job of hiding his spite, which is... I don't blame you.
No, that's fine. I'm bad at it, too.
I'm not a good sharer.
Me neither.
That's fine.
I'm a good sharer with Henry. But I'm not a good sharer with, like, anyone.
I'm not a good sharer with anyone, even people that I'm in love with.
There you go.
You know? I have... Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah,
you
I do. My sister,
yeah, me
Chelsea.
Too. I always had to share with my brother, and now that
younger brother,
yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so did you always win the games that you would play?
No.
See, we Chelsea and I played pretend all the time, and I would always win. I was like that kind of disaster.
I was the kid who always got more as the younger child, and my sister sort of just built up this. Just internalize that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. But I was going to ask you about movies versus watching TV. Is it an environmental thing, or does it have to do with the food?
It's just environmental. Like if I watch a movie at home, then I also enjoy eating during that as well.
But if someone else is there with you, like, are you worried about someone reaching over for the bowl of like, I don't know, chips or something?
Like, I don't like watching things with other people.
Okay, great. Cool.
Yeah,
I feel the same way.
Yeah,
like when people are like, "I love watching RuPaul's Drag Race in a bar full of gays," I'm like, "No,
yeah.
I don't prefer."
I
respect and get why people say that.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I have the receipts. I think you've been quoted
saying
that you
I don't
prefer
like
to go to bars.
I don't prefer to go to bars,
or that you don't like. It's not as fun watching it alone.
No, that's you're thinking of Joel.
But you agree emphatically. Agreed with him.
I think that there are benefits to watching it with everyone. But also I also said, and this is true. I mean, routinely, I'll just watch RuPaul's Drag Race every episode like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
I watch it once at a bar because everyone's there. Once probably with Henry. Once by myself. And then once later on in the week when someone says they haven't seen it, and I stop everything and what we're doing and we watch it. You know what I mean? And it's fine. It's fun for me every time.
Okay. All right. Speaking of RuPaul's Drag Race, Cole, are you watching this season?
I haven't watched this last episode. Wait, is it online now? You can watch it online.
Well, this really is like wonky. A controversy now because it used to be you could stream it right after on logotv.com.
Right.
But now it's airing on
it's
VH1. So do you have Amazon Prime?
No, but oh yeah, I do.
So then just maybe buy the season.
Oh, but and I also have Sling, so I have VH1, but I can only watch it live.
Right, so you're going to... I think what's happening is they're doing the new episodes on VH1, and the reruns are airing on Logo.
Okay. Oh, so maybe I can catch it...
On Logo?
Oh, I don't know if I have Logo.
I don't know. It's all a mess. It used to be so easy because it would be on logotv.com, but now it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on Netflix...
No, it's not.
I don't fucking know. They should do a better job of
getting
that out there because it's on fucking Friday nights now.
Yeah. At time of recording, guys, we're only past the first episode.
One episode, we'll see.
Hopefully, it's promising. Okay, let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Let's do our I Don't Think So, Honey. So here we go. First of all, you guys, thank you for making the live show, I Don't Think So, Honey. Las Culturistas is live at Littlefield. Such a success. It was so fun.
There were so many people there.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
Cole, did you have fun?
I did.
Great.
It was so fun, that, you know, with
all those fucking, it was 50 fucking comedians. 50
yeah. Comedians. It was yeah. a real blast. Yeah. And I mean, being in the back room and just like realizing who all was there. Yeah. It was just very cool. Yeah. It was a great. So thanks guys for coming out to that. And also you can listen to the live episodes on iTunes and all the platforms that we're on and, you know, like and subscribe and all that. Guys, I Don't Think So, Honey is 60 seconds to rail against something in culture that's, you know, just we feel, you know, just offending us.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it's our time to get it back.
Yeah.
Take back the narrative on these things. And so what do you think, Bowen? Do you want to go first?
I can go first. Do you have something prepared?
I have something loosely prepared.
Okay, I have something kind of specific prepared.
Okay, let's go. So this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts right now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, standpipes on the fucking sidewalks of New York City. Honey, I was walking down Lafayette. A man was barreling towards me, so I sidestepped him so that I could get out of his way. And as I sidestepped him and stepped forward, I grazed my shin on a standpipe, and it cut through my jeans, and I had it scratched me and slashed me pretty deeply.
Oh, my gosh.
So I spend the whole train ride home with a fucking open, torn jean leg, honey. I Don't Think So, Honey. And I thought I had tetanus, bitch. And I had a scheduled doctor's appointment, and I had to go, and the doctor visually diagnosed me and looked me in the eyes and talked to me like I was a fucking idiot and said, no, you don't have tetanus. It has to be a deeper wound than that. And so I Don't Think So, Honey. Standpipes are making me feel like a stupid hypochondriac.
20 seconds.
I Don't Think So, Honey. My doctors just being very condescending with their visual diagnoses, because can they really be 100% sure? I Don't Think So, Honey. I Don't Think So, Honey. Doctors who think that their eyes are a fucking assay of a condition. Ooh. Because I Don't Think So, Honey. You did not. I don't care if you went to Johns Hopkins. Seconds. I Don't Think So, Honey. Standpipes on the sidewalk of New York City. I Don't Think So, Honey, for hurting me and my reputation in the medical community.
That's
I Don't Think
So, Honey.
Wow.
That was loaded. You had something to say.
Had a lot of messages there. And you know what? I think I nailed all of them.
Nothing better than feeling good about the way you've spoken out.
Mm-hmm. And I got a little marble mouth at the end, but that's okay.
I just want to say, originally I was going to do my I Don't Think So, Honey about Sunset Boulevard. Let's just say this right now up front. I've changed my mind. But I Don't Think So, Honey, Sunset Boulevard, it's not actually a good show. Glenn Close is good in it, but Andrew Lloyd Webber, I'm sorry, honey, you're kind of a mess.
Sorry, yeah,
you're kind of a mess. Okay, but I have my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. 1 minute, time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, myself. Today, it is Tuesday. You went to lunch and ordered 2 Bloody Marys that were $10 each. You don't have the money for that, bitch. I Don't Think So, Honey. And then you got immediately home and smoked weed and played video games. Bitch, you're on a deadline and you know this. I Don't Think So, Honey. Bitch, you have gone out to eat so many times in the past 4 days, and I know your anniversary to your boyfriend Henry of 2 years was 2 days ago, but bitch, stop celebrating yourself. You're just elongating this and you're just hurting yourself, bitch. I Don't Think So, Honey. I know that food is good, but you know what? Take some of your time, take some of your energy, use it towards creating and accruing more money so that you can go out for a nice dinner other times spread throughout the week, because guess what, bitch? A, when you go out for a nice dinner and the food is good, it loses its meaning after this amount of volume times. So just do it for yourself. Also, B, bitch, again, you do not have the money. You have less than $800 in your bank account. And bitch, you need to be more frugal, bitch. Frugal, bitch. Hashtag frugal, bitch. Frugal, bitch.
That's 1 minute. Hashtag frugal, bitch.
Wow. I feel so brave.
That's historic. Never has an I Don't Think So, Honey been, has there been an auto I Don't Think
aimed
So, Honey?
Aimed inward.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
An introspective I Don't Think So, Honey. Cole, are you ready?
I think so.
Okay, great. Okay. All right, this is Cola Scola's I Don't Think So, Honey. 1 minute on the clock. Matt's sneezing.
I just sneezed 4 times. Apologies.
That's good luck.
God bless.
Thank you.
All right, Cole's I Don't Think So, Honey. Yeah. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. The writer's strike.
Oh!
The WGA writer's strike.
Oh,
look,
my God.
Look, I'm all for unions. I saw Sally Field in Glass Menagerie, Norma Rae, unions. Yes, yes, yes. But whoever they're striking against, and frankly, it's not my job to figure that out. Go on Twitter. Figure it out. But the WGA, I got my notes in front of me. They're looking for streaming media residuals and changes to pension and health plans. And now there's going to be a strike. Well, let me tell you what happened the last time there was a writer's strike. Last time there was a writer's strike, reality TV came into fashion. What happened with reality TV? Donald Trump. Do you know who's our president now? I don't.
Yeah.
That's not a rhetorical question.
And it's not up to you to know.
It's not up to me to know.
The onus is not on you.
No. So I Don't Think So, Honey, writer's strike, it needs to get figured out. And I mean, like, toot sweet, because, bitch, I will run for office and I will run as a Republican and I will win and I will gut this fucking country. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute.
You know what? I would vote for you in a fucking heartbeat.
Thank
Cole.
You.
Would not Thank vote you. Down party lines.
I would jump ship from Milo Point 2.
Oh my God. Cola.
Honestly, I'm scared about the writer's strike.
Me too.
Because we're at such a good moment.
I know.
I mean, like, but also, like, if they have good points, then.
They do. But like, who? It's the. I think everyone should just tweet at, like, whoever it is they're striking against their negotiations.
Give them what they want. They deserve it. Just give it to them.
Yeah, it's like the association of
assholes.
Of assholes. Oh, of the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. So go on Twitter at AMPTP.
AMPTP.
AMPTP. And just like start harassing them. I didn't invent witch hunt culture, but I know how to use it, and it's time. Unless you want me as president,
there you go.
Sorry,
it is my name.
Hashtag resist.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, get out there and let's
out the vote.
Let's get this sorted out. Okay, let's do things right this time.
What was the one good thing that came out of the 2007 writer's strike? I'm trying to think.
Survivor.
So, you know what? There was a lot of bad things. Like a lot of really promising shows were dead in the water after that. It ruined Lost.
Interesting.
Oh. It ruined a lot of shows. It made a lot of shows very confused and bad. That was like when network shows were big.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's like with cable shows being big, it's not going to really interrupt the quality of shows too much because they can just say, okay, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
And later on we'll resume this and it'll be fine. But with network shows being big at that time, like,
with 24 episode orders,
it really kind of disturbed the narrative of a lot of shows. And I remember it like when shows came back, they were different.
But yeah, you know,
episode
what?
Orders were weird.
It you know was... what? You know what? I think the writer's strike kind of helped with this is the series I think the writer's strike helped with was Grey's, because the second half of season 4 of Grey's Anatomy was very interesting.
This is
very esoteric.
Did we get Kid Nation from the writer's strike? Oh was God, that born during the writer's strike?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, but you're 100% right about the kind of rise of reality TV, because it had already reared its head.
Yeah.
Like, American Idol had already become number one, and, like, Survivor started everything and whatever. And then when there was an absence of those shows, it's true, when all those shows came in. I think that might have been when the Real Housewives
first
really...
seed being planted right now, and I...
Yeah.
This is like a Malcolm Gladwell-esque expository topic right here. That's amazing. Thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
Wow, well, this has been a great episode of Lost Culture.
There's been so much culture brought to the forefront.
Absolutely, and thank you so much, Cole.
I love you guys so much. I love this show so much.
We love you so much.
An icon to us. I mean, and again, like, just you're so... It is your honor to see Cola Scola perform.
Absolutely.
So you should all go to the show on June 14th.
June 14th. Joe's Pub.
Help
I'm
stuck.
Which, come
Joe's
on,
Pub.
That title.
Thanks.
You gotta go.
Fabulous.
Cole, we love you. Cole, where can people find you on social media?
At Cola Scola.
He got it.
I got it.
He got it. Because I tried to get at Cola Scola. Guys, thank you so much. My name is Matt Rogers.
My name is Bone Yang.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.